Chapter 18, Dreaded Pursuits. Slade, seated on a rustic wooden stool in the living room area, was engrossed in deep thought. The tranquility was disturbed when the door creaked open, admitting Logan Atalon. Fresh from a training session, their lively chatter filled the room. Yet, as their gaze met Slade's, their smiles faded instantly. Slade, slouched and weary, momentarily turned his attention to them, before returning his gaze to the table. The stools creaked against the wooden floor as Loke and Atalon took their places. Loke broke the silence, his voice soft and concerned. "Is everything okay, Slade?" Slade met Loke's gaze, sighed, and replied, "Yes, but we must depart soon. I've been trying to devise a safe route through the swamp, yet I can't find a secure way." Slade paused momentarily, then continued, "I don't know how to locate the Sanitist forest entrance. It's very well hidden and I'm uncertain how to pass through it. Nonetheless, we must leave soon." As Slade's gaze fell on Atalon, the latter broke his silence. Atalon spoke, "I think I might be able to help assist you in finding the exclusive entrance to Satellite Forest." Atalon sighed, pausing before he added, "Although, I'm afraid you might not like it." Slade grunted and turned to face Atalon, his expression changing from somber to interested as he focused on what Atalon had to say. Atalon proceeded, "There's only one way to reach Satellite Forest. We must traverse to the Forest of Sanitas. However, to do that, we need to find the chant of Kitoris, the Eagleatus call." Loke interjected, "I heard that name before. My father used to tell stories about the hidden forest far north of Kuratan. He mentioned that a witch was the only one who knew the path." A smirk played at the corners of Atalon's mouth. "Indeed, you're correct, Loke. The witch is precisely why I suggested that Slade might not like the plan." Loke and Slade turned to Atalon, their face entrenched with curiosity, as they simultaneously asked, "Why?" Atalon chuckled lightly before continuing, "If you permit me to speak, I'll explain. The witch is known as Winalise. She alone knows the path to the forest, a knowledge gained from being trapped within by the person I believe you both are seeking." Slade edged closer. His intention piqued. Atalon resumed, "However, Winalise is wary of strangers. Many people have ventured to her dwelling have either vanished without a trace or, if fortunate enough to return, come back missing a part of themselves. It could be a physical loss, a piece of their soul, or even a cherished facet of their personality. It's as if she strips them of their essence." Both Loke and Slade heaved a slight sigh. Slade lowered his gaze to the table, his thoughts deep and silent. After a moment, Slade looked up at Atalon with a hint of a smile. "You mentioned that she was trapped by the very person I seek. Perhaps, if fortune favours me and she listens to me, I can offer her freedom in exchange for passage through the forest." Atalon's eyebrow quirked in interest as he responded in a curious tone, "Do you know how to free her?" Slade inhaled and admitted, "No, I don't. But perhaps she does. It's worth a try. We must discover why Alorn was poisoned to prevent this from happening again." Atalon asks, "Isn't this journey potentially more dangerous than the poison itself?" Slate's eyes met Loke's, then turned back to Atalon. With a slight nod, Slade said, "Yes, it might be. But living in constant fear, suspecting everyone around us, isn't truly living either. I want to uncover the truth, stop the perpetrator, and regain peace." Atalon nodded in understanding. "I see your point. I would likely do the same. So, when do you plan on leaving?" "Tomorrow," Slade announced. "Loke and I will depart then." Atalon's smile transformed into a look of surprise. "Tomorrow? And Loke is joining you? Are you certain he's ready?" "I still need your assistance here." Loke attempted to interrupt, but Atalon brushed past his interjection and reiterated, "I still need your help." Slade replied calmly, "The bandits who pose the real threat are gone. Over time, your people will gain their confidence, and you can spread the word to encourage Martians to revisit your town. As for Loke, I'll be there to protect him. Slate gave a slight smirk. Besides, I'm not sure I can convince him to stay. Loke nodded in agreement. I'm going with Slate. Slate continued, you don't need me any longer. Moreover, I'm growing impatient and worried that if I delay, I'll lose my leads. Athlon nodded. All right. Then, be sure to have a good meal tonight and rest well for your journey ahead. They all shared a final meal before retiring for the night. Come morning, Loke woke up bubbling with excitement. He hopped out of bed, gathered his gear. Noticing Loke, Athlon called and handed him a bag filled with food and water. Take this for your journey. Remember everything I taught you, especially about listening and trusting Slate. Loke nodded in appreciation. I will. Thank you for your guidance in my training. I need to focus on strategizing rather than rushing into danger. Loke added, now, Slate and I can finally venture to the place and uncover what happened to Aloran. No problem. It's time for you to get going, Athlon urged. Slate joined them, placing a hand on Loke's shoulders. Loke looked up and smiled at Slate, who then turned to Athlon and said, thank you for training, Loke. Interrupting Slate, Athlon replied, no thanks needed. I was happy to help. You both should get going now. I wish you safe travels. Slate nodded in acknowledgement. Loke and Slate then secured their belongings in Sage's saddle, ready to embark on their journey. Underneath a moonless sky, Slate and Loke found themselves enveloped by profound quiet of the forest. Only the intermittent chirping of unseen birds punctured their weighty silence. Their steeds' hooves chopped gently, an eerie rhythm in their otherwise still night. Slate and Loke were pushed on top of Sage. Loke drew in a deep sigh before breaking the silence. Recently, I found my thoughts drifting to my parents, Loke confessed, his voice barely more than a whisper. Every time I reflect on their absence, I feel like I should be overcome with sadness and crying. Yet, each time I think about my parents, I'm met with an unsettling numbness. I feel empty. My mind is frozen and void of nothingness. I can't feel anything, and I don't know why. Loke paused, letting in the heavy silence hang for a moment before continuing. There's a part of me that fantasizes about returning to their open arms at the end of this journey. Loke's voice trailed off. Slate looked down at Loke, staring at Loke, listening intently to every word Loke had to say. Loke stopped speaking for a minute, turned his head to look at Slate and asked, have you ever felt this way after you lost the loved ones you told? Slate locked eyes with Loke, his expression solemn. Yes, I have. Everyone handles grief differently, Slate began. In this world, there's no book that tells us how to grieve. I believe it's a personal journey. Everyone grieves in their own way. I believe there's no right or wrong way to do it. With a softer tone, still gazing at Loke, Slate continued, I felt very much as you do now, stuck in a form of denial. I knew the truth, yet my heart refused to accept it. It was overwhelming. Grief consumed me to the point where I lost faith in people, everything. I was trapped in a whirlwind of pain and anger. To avoid feeling this deep anguish, I distanced myself from others. I pushed away. I intimidated anyone who tried to get close to me. That's why I left and lived without a home, to be alone and to numb this unbearable pain. Slate lowered his head and exhaled an icy breath as he spoke. I was cruel back then, willing to do anything to keep people at arm's length. Loke turned to Slate. Did you kill anyone? In a gentle tone, Slate replied, no. I didn't kill anyone unless I was in self-defense. I was filled with rage and behaved that way for a long time until I met Wiley. She saw past my anger and stood her ground against me. She was a strong woman who recognized my pain, like a cornered, injured wild dog that was afraid. I yelled and cursed, yet she persisted. She stood by my side, gradually peeling away the layers of my pain. Over time, I opened up to her and others. It all began because of her. Locke interrupted. I'm afraid of experiencing those feelings. I'm afraid what I may become. Will I be as angry as you? Or perhaps worse? Slate answered. We can't predict how you will grieve the loss of your family and everyone you know. But hear me now. As long as I'm here and care for you, I'll be there to guide you if you stray, just as Rhinley did for me. Locke nodded, his heart filled with sadness. Together, they continued their journey through the shadowy forest, in a companionable silence. Twilight was setting in as they travelled through the eerie forest. The gentle chirping of birds abruptly transitioned into the shrill cries of hawks, as if sending a cold message amongst themselves. Slate's gaze filtered around the surroundings. The wind had taken on a chilling bite. Their forest inhabitants hushed their sounds. Further into the wilderness, more creatures emerged from the shadows. A rabbit poised a bolt, stayed frozen, its eyes locked on them. Locke's hair stood up as he noticed a abrupt sound shift and the creepy cold. Slate? Locke whispered. I feel like we're being watched. Slate responded in a hushed tone. Yes, I believe we've been under surveillance for some time. The sudden echo of a woman's cackle filled the air. Why are you here? Leave now or face sudden death, the voice taunted. Slate raised his voice, pulling the reins of his horse. Taunt. We mean no harm. Our path lies through this forest. We hope you can guide us. Perhaps we can assist you in return. The woman's laughter rang louder. How can you possibly help me? Slate scanned the surrounding for signs of the woman, finding only the reflective eyes of the forest inhabitants. Slate said, Winelise, I believe you are trapped here, possibly by the one we seek. Despite possibility being foes, we share a common adversary. If you guide us through the forest, we may free you. Winelise resounded with a screech. Only she who trapped me can set me free. Slate interrupted. What do you have to lose? Guide us and we perish, you lose nothing. But if we survive, we can find a way to free you. If you kill us now, your imprisonment is guaranteed. However, aiding us might offer you a chance at freedom. A moment of silence hung heavy in the air, broken by the low voice saying, Fine, move forward and follow the animals. We shall meet soon. The wind brushed against Slate and Locke's face. They found the animals still watching them closely. Urging Sage to move forward as instructed, they noticed foxes, rabbits and birds starting to trail in front of them, leading them deeper into the forest heart. They eventually arrived at a small, run-down stone hut with candlelight streaming through its cracked window. The door creaked open to reveal the witch, Wynelise. She had wavy black hair that fell over her shoulders. She wore a long cloak that combined the shades of purple and black. Her pale skin contrasted against her dark blue eyes. With a curt nod towards some stools, Wynelise invited them to sit. They complied, attentive to her every move. So, Wynelise began, her tone acidic. What do you want? Why do you seek this wish called wellness? Slate took a deep breath, explaining his predicament. A friend of mine was poisoned, nearly killed. We suspect that she was behind it. We want to understand why she is after us. To stop her, so that we no longer need to look over our shoulders, waiting for the next attack. Wynelise grunted. Fine. How do you plan to help me? Slate sighed. At the moment, I don't know. But I promise to lift your curse. To do so, you must tell us how you were trapped in the first place. Wynelise's laughter rang hollow. She caught me reading this forbidden book filled with dark spells. Was she disapproved of? For my disobedience, she confined me here in this forest, ensuring I couldn't harm her. If you find that book, I can lift the curse. If I guide you, will you retrieve it? Slate nodded. Yes, I will. Fine, Liz whispered, pointing towards the forest. Head far right. You'll begin to see owls and birds scattering. Listen for the low chirping. Repeat Val Tatal and reach 5 times and you'll find your way. Slate asked, how will I know it worked? Finally smirked, you'll know. Now go. Without hesitation, Loke and Slate left the hut, ventured in the direction Wineley's instructed. They started to see a flock of birds flying ahead, pushing themselves on the trees and hooting. Loke moaned, I have a bad feeling about this. Are you sure this is the right way? And do you believe her? Slate turned to Loke and spoke softly. Of course. I don't believe her. I don't trust her. Loke interrupted, then why are we listening to her? Slate continued, she could have killed us. And as I mentioned, we might help her. So I follow her because it's in our self-interest to guide us the right way. Loke groaned. If you say so. Slate turned to Loke as he dismounted Sage and guided them through the dark woods. As Slate looked around, he couldn't help but notice the forest trees were filled with birds, their chirping soft and low. Slate shouted, Val, Tatal, Areach, 5 times over. A loud screech pierced the sky, prompting Slate to draw his sword and scan the skies. Wings flapped, a breeze whipped around them. A beam of moonlight bathed the forest. A giant eagle, like a luminous bird, resplendent in the moonlight, hovered before Slate. Take me to the hidden forest, Slate commanded. The bird soared into the air with a resonant screech and disappeared. Loke looked confused. How on earth are we going to follow that? Slate pointed to the ground, smirking, where the feathers lay. Loke's face brightened with understanding. I get it. We follow the feathers. They will lead us to the forest. Slate nodded, leading them onwards. Their path illuminated by the delicate feathers. They left Sage behind as they rushed through the dark, dead forest, with a cold breeze hitting their faces, the grass rustling beneath their boots. Slate immediately felt his strength fading away and promptly surveyed his surroundings. Slate's eyes, though blurred, strained to pierce through the overwhelming darkness and silence around him. A hefty gush of wind whooshed past, almost toppling Slate over. Slate could make out a strangled, raspy breath amid the swirling sounds. Swiftly turning towards the sound, Slate's eyes widened when he saw Loke, his mouth agape, gasping as if he's fighting an unseen foe. Slate rushed over to Loke without hesitation. Loke was gasping for air, as if the gust of wind was being forced into his mouth. However, the moment Slate reached him, the gust disappeared. Loke's coughing ceased as he opened his eyes and struggled to rise. Slate offered his hands, but Loke declined, insisting on standing up. Slate moved his arm around Loke for support, looking into his eyes, and asked warningly, are you sure you're all right? Loke nodded weakly, whispering, yes, I am. What just happened? Slate's gaze swept over the forest, seeking signs of the eerie wind, but it had vanished. I'm not entirely sure, Slate responded. My best guess would be some dark magic, but I don't know. Slate turned his gaze back to Loke, concern evident in his eyes. If you're not feeling well, we can turn back. I think we should. But Loke was firm. No, I am fine. Can we please continue? Slate relented, letting his gaze wander over the forest again. However, Loke's voice cut through the silence. Actually, Slate, I'm not feeling too good. A groan interrupted Loke's words.